I'm going to preach a word to you this morning out of the Exodus. And you can go to Exodus chapter 12. And that particular chapter is entitled the Passover. Now some people say, Passover, Pastor, you're a couple, two or three weeks late. Listen to me. You say Easter, just what we call Easter, is a few weeks ago. Every day for a child of God is Passover. Did you hear me? Somebody respond. Every day is Passover. Every day is Easter. Every day the blood of the Lamb gives us power. Every day he's risen, and that glorious resurrection power gives us power. So there's no set day for a believer. If you want to live in a high once a year, that's okay. But if you want to live in the constant, the consistent, and the flow of the Holy Spirit of God, then we don't have a season or a theme to preach. We preach Jesus all the time. Can you say amen? In chapter 12 of the book of Exodus, and I'm reading from the NIV, I'm just going to scan over the first few verses. Because this is the instruction by God, because the time had come for Israel to be set free out of bondage. 430 years from the time of Joseph to this day, to the day. Isn't that remarkable how God, you can read the scripture. To the day, 430 years, God said, okay, captivity's over, freedom's now, and just follow my plan. I hear this three-phase plan our government has. I have no criticism of that. I think it's wonderful. But there's a plan. God had a plan that was so specific for those people. He told them, this is what you're going to do. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, and listen how God does things. This month is to be for you the first month of your year. This is a redoing of the calendar. He said, there's a new day coming. There's a new time. That particular thing is getting ready to start with us. When we're able to come back together in our full force in our church, it's going to be the first month of that new beginning, of that new year. He continues on. And he says, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of the month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household's too small, he says, share it. People get together. Just determine the amount of lamb you'll need for each person and how much they'll eat. This is specific by God. He said, the animal you can choose can be a year old male, but it has to be without defects. It can come from the sheep or it can come from the goats. Just a year old lamb. And then he says this, take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them when the sun starts to go down. Boy, this is the start of Shabbat. This is the start of something new. This is the beginning of empowered revelation and guidance and direction by God. He said, after you slay that, then you are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lamb. That place where the lamb is consumed, that's where you take this, and I'll read it later, where he gives even more specifics. He says, you're to take this bush called the hyssop. If you study the history of the hyssop bush, it goes way back into the kings and the places that it was used. God has a specific time and purpose for everything. Then he says this, after you put the blood that same night, you're to eat the meat and roast it in fire with the bitter herbs, and that's the Seder. Eat the bread without yeast. And he goes on, and I'll just transcribe that from now on, and tells him what to do, exactly what's going to happen. And then he begins to give more specifics about what's going to happen to the people who do and do not have the blood applied to their doorpost and to their door. Verse 21 now, let me take off there because that's the message this morning. Exodus chapter 12, verse 21. And the Bible says, then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animal for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. This is where we first hear this, Passover, because we're talking about the angel of death, God sending an angel of death through the land of Egypt. And wherever the blood was absent from the house of Pharaoh to the slave maiden, it says, that if the blood isn't there, the firstborn of every home, the firstborn of every cow and calf and cat and dog, the firstborn of all existence, if that blood isn't there, then the death angel will take them. He goes on in verse 22 and says this, take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood of the basin in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of this house until morning. Once you put the blood there. Stay sealed under the precious blood and the protection that the enemy tries to bring. He continues on and says, when the Lord goes through the land, and listen to this, this is God's judgment. This is the 10th of 10 plagues. And in this one, up to this point, Pharaoh and his wisdom and his men and they have tried to rationalize it, as supernatural as all of them were. The fact that 8 of the 10 of them never touched Goshen, or the land where Israel was quarantined to in Egypt. They were not there when the darkness came that you couldn't even see anything in front of you, utter like you were blind. When the lice, when the plagues came, or the frogs, or the water turned to blood, or the horrible situations that occurred by the miraculous hand of God, Israel in the land of Goshen there in Egypt was protected. But now here's the last, and this is the one where God is breaking the chain of bondage. Oh, yeah, I heard an amen. That was the right place there, because some of you understand what that means. Pardon me, all of you should understand what that means. Everyone that's been saved has had the blood of the Lamb applied to our lives, and that's broken the chain of bondage and slavery to Satan. We're no longer Satan's children. We're no longer from that household. We've been brought in by the power of the blood and safe. He said, when the Lord goes through the land and strikes down the Egyptians, you see, this curse wasn't made for Israel. It was made for the disobedient, those that tried to put Israel in captivity, those that tried to put Israel in bondage, the things that tried to remove their God from them. He said, I'm going to strike it down. He said, but this angel, as he goes through, the Lord sins. He will see the blood on the top and the sides of the door frames, and he will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your house or to strike you down. My goodness, this is incredible. He goes on in 24. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. And this is incredible what he's saying. And listen to this. He's saying this in verse 25. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised. Did you hear that? A promise? Have you got a promise from God today? Let me just tell you, if you don't know, yes, you have many promises to God. That was secured by the blood of the Lamb. And you have that today. I want you to understand that environment or circumstance or society cannot dictate the promises of God in your life. It's impossible. They're mere nothing compared to the promises of God. God's purpose cannot be changed by any environmental situation or attack or challenge that exists. God's purpose for you is absolute, Your obedience to God dictates His purpose being fulfilled in your life. And so if you want God's purpose in your life, then obey the following of God. Obey the following of the Holy Spirit through the power of the words of Jesus Christ. Determine in your life, I'm going to do it God's way. And when you say, I'm going to do it God's way, the supernatural happens. I have been the first to question God. I've been the first to direct God and to maneuver Him, try to, or tell Him He needs to do this or that. When, in essence, the older I get in God, the more I submit myself to Jesus, I realize now that I just stand before Him and say, Father God, You are the shepherd and I'm the sheep. You're the potter and I'm the clay. Mold me and make me, because what You're going to do is going to produce something out of me that has value and eternal value. And I don't want to go through life being a self-made man. I've heard that term all my life. I've even used it. But I want to be a God-made man. I want to be one that God is able to mold. Not my doctrine or not my heritage or not something someone has put in my life. I want the pure Holy Spirit of God to mold me into what God wants me to be. And He has a purpose for you. If I could just, Holy Spirit, put it in the minds of everyone right now. Put it in their hearts to understand that there is nothing less than or short of God's purpose in your life. You're following Jesus. You want to be His child. Your want to is all you can do. We leave the how to God. It's not our right to do that. And God does. He says you're going to enter the land. And He said, I promised you. He's talking about the future. And you're going to observe this thing that you're doing tonight. You're going to go back in remembrance and see. And when your children, verse 26, it says this, and when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Oh my goodness. What does this ceremony mean to you? Your children need to be taught what it meant to go from lost to saved. Your children need to understand. You don't have to go through your life if you were pretty clean or if you were pretty filthy. You don't have to go through your life and tell him, their kids, what a bad or good dude you were. All you need to do is say this, I once was lost, but now I see. That's all I know. When Jesus took care of that blind man, he was 40 years old. The Pharisees and priests came to him and said, give glory to God. They didn't even know God when he was standing in front of them. A lot of people talk it, but they don't even know. They live in an outside realm of relationship that's based on limited obedience. You cannot listen to me. Church, I'm telling you, you can't do it your way. You can't do it the way somebody else tells you to do it. You can't let somebody else run your spiritual affairs. You can't allow a doctrine to run your spiritual affairs. You can't allow your lack of trust and faith to run your spiritual affairs. You've got to rely on Jesus. When they brought him and questioned him, how did you go from being blind to see? Because that's the big thing in that time, leprosy and blindness and paralysis. We see Jesus and death, and we see Jesus involved in every one of those areas. But they said, what happened? And give glory to God. He said, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know. The only thing I know is that once I was blind and now I see. And I'm going to tell you, that's something you can share with your children and their children. And if you don't put that hope in them, who is? Don't leave it to the Sunday school teachers. Don't leave it to the pastor. Don't leave it to the church. Teach them now that Jesus is the source of life and the only way for them to grow from lost to found. Then bring them to Sunday school. Then bring them to church and let that fruition grow in them that God in Jesus is everything to them. Teach them. Show them. This was an incredible thing. He's saying that at midnight, I'm going to pass over the land. At midnight, the death angel, under my supervision and provision, is going to fall all over Egypt, and Egypt's going to find out that there's a God, and the challenge, this 10th challenge, is going to break the chain. God has a challenge for the enemy of your life. Listen to me. If you put yourself under the blood of Jesus Christ, there's nothing, and I want you to say that with me out loud. Would you say nothing? No, yeah, say it, please. Nothing. There's nothing that God cannot do. There's nothing that God will not do. There's nothing that will withhold his glory in your life. Nothing, nothing, if you follow the mandate of God. I'm amazed at the efforts of the media, how they're trying to eliminate any form or acknowledgement or trust in God or reliance on God to heal our nation right now. In fact, I did hear from one governor on the East Coast that actually made this statement. He said, God didn't have anything to do with the cure of COVID-19. It was simply a matter of hard work and long hours on the part of our medical community. Well, somebody say, well. Well, I'm glad to hear it from you. I certainly would put my trust in you and your knowledge. Governor, you have never been more misled in your life. 9 times the Egyptians said that, but on the 10th time they couldn't say that God didn't have anything to do with it. It was impossible because it was going to touch their homes if the blood wasn't there, and they laughed and they scoffed at it. Simply a matter of hard work and long hours on the part of the medical community. Do I appreciate the medical community? Our church is full of people that are responders and first responders, and I have nothing but admiration for you and love for you and praise, and I plead the blood of Jesus over you. But there's more. There's the hand of God. This man and the perceived authority of the national media projects, and their projections and their opinions is a baseless opinion. Somebody say amen. That has absolutely no effect on the power of the blood of Jesus. Intervention of God when his people call on his name, our God is always there to answer. Never does he not. And when churches around the country and men and women of God are calling us to prayer and we pray, listen to me, God is hearing us. God is not an enigma. He's not a fragment of our extreme imagination. Our God is real. Say amen to that. That brings glory to God. Our God is real, and he has given us his name through his son Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came to us as a result of a covenant with God and brought with him the greatest covenant in all of eternity, and that was the blood of Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. I'm leading up to something. Just listen a minute. This great covenant is greater than man's. Man's first covenant with God was sustained by the blood of oxen, sheep, and goats. But far greater is the covenant Jesus brought with him that eternally secures that and keeps us secure by a one-time pouring out of his divine blood. I was raised, as many as you were, singing a great song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again and within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I was raised singing another great song of the faith, and the power of the blood songs are so powerful. I was raised singing, "Are you washed in the blood? in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Oh my goodness, friends, listen to me. It's not old or new. There's nothing old fashioned or contemporary with God. Praise is praise. And praise is to please Him. And in turn, He brings us His presence. But it's significant to worship Him in the power of the blood. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Listen, if you are, you're different. You're separated. Even today, the blood of Jesus continues to be intrinsically part of your everyday life. It's absolutely part of everything you are. The blood of Jesus today. It exists in every area of our life. His blood is your Passover. His blood is your Savior and your sin forgiver. Through the blood of Jesus, you're free from the sin bondages that you've had in the past. You're given access to God's endless promises. You're giving victory over the enemy of your soul. Through the blood of Jesus, you have an immediate access to God's throne and answers to any request you make of Him. I want to put in you, and I want you to realize that there's a difference between lost and found. There's a difference between blood bought and the world. There's a difference between born again and not regenerated by the blood of Jesus. And the blood is the cure. It's the greatest covenant man's ever received in all eternity. The blood brought our salvation. The blood redeemed us from hell. The blood brought the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. But it took the sacrifice of the Lamb of God that caused in our obedience to be ready to stand up, move out, and be separated from the world. And if you're not separated from the world, the blood of Jesus doesn't have effect on your life today. You can't live in Egypt and live in Canaan at the same time. And it's not the way you dress or it's not the way you talk. It's the intent of your heart that says, I have decided to wholly and completely in my job, in my home, in everything I do, I'm ignoring everything except one thing. I have decided to follow Jesus. When you do that, you've done everything humanly possible. Then God does something that's supernaturally impossible to man, but possible to God. And He regenerates you with a supernatural anointing. And you don't have a humdrum relationship with God anymore. You've got a Holy Ghost filled, Spirit filled man and woman of God that lives in the power of the anointing of the blood. It never cease to be active in your life. That's based on you. He's not only your Savior, forgiver, redeemer. He's your promise giver. He's the victory over the enemy of your soul. Through the blood of Jesus, you have immediate access to the throne. I said it with everything. There's a difference between lost and found. If you're found, it wasn't you that found God. It was Him that found you and offered you. He's offering you today. All He's asking from you is give you yourself. Give me to Him. God, here I am. I'm not going to be polluted by anything else. You don't need another book. You don't need another seminar. You don't need another conference. You don't even need voices in your life. You need Jesus and the purity of Him. He'll sort out the stuff. And if you don't do that, you're going to try to live halfway in Egypt in bondage and halfway in the promises of God. And there's no more miserable place in the world to be stuck in the middle of going and staying. You're like a rocking chair. In and out, up and down, no power. But when you say there's power in the blood, and that blood of Jesus is my immediate access to God's throne, He's the answer to my request, and there's a difference between me now and me then, that He is guiding my life, you're going to have power in your life. When the world right now is attempting to minimize or rationalize God's power in your life, to try to indoctrinate you. The 6 o'clock news is nothing more today than nothing more than propaganda for a particular way that we're living. Are you saying I'm against the news? I'm against the, quote, idea of news today. Real news is called fair and balanced reporting. There's nothing fair or balanced. It's coming straight out of Pharaoh's court, trying to tell you as a child of God, you can't be set free. You can't exist. There are confines. There are places on you. It's time for this. And I've heard this, it's time term, but I'm saying really, we've turned a page. And now it's time to stand up and prepare to move forward. Listen, church, if I've ever told you anything in my life, this is one. But there may be another one on the foothills of this. There may be another after that. And we have to learn to stand up under the blood and be ready to move forward, to move out, and to go to a place in Jesus where his promises are and his and possess his territory that he has for us. God's earmarked us with a place where God wants us has never been, ever been decided by society or your environment or even your own limitations. This glorious, redeeming, sustaining, victorious power that resides in the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, remains strong today. Right now. Right now. It hasn't diminished. It hasn't changed. It's uncontested. It's consistent with the very first drop of blood that ever fell from Jesus' body. And it's strength for you in the time we're living in. There's a story that I love. It was relayed to me by a great prophet. And it may or may not have happened, but it's a very possible story that occurred the day of the Exodus in Egypt. It's a spotlight on one particular family, a young family with several small children, and the oldest was still just a little boy. The father was preparing the lamb, following everything God said for him to have freedom from captivity and freedom from the death angel that would come. And so as they were getting the lamb roasted, not boiled, everything burned up that wasn't used, the bitter herbs and what we call the Seder meal prepared, dressed, ready to travel, with their belt tied, their shoes on, their staff in their hand, just before they were setting down that twilight evening. The evening of the Exodus, the father told the little boy, maybe 9 or 10 years old, come with me. And they go outside of the door of their house. The father has a bowl of the blood of that lamb. He has a branch of hyssop. He dips it in the bowl. The boy looks at him puzzled. And he paints over the door and on the doorpost. He brushes the blood until it's dripping. And the father said, Jehovah, Elohim told us by Moses that tonight the death angel would pass over. And the firstborn of every household, from Pharaoh to the slave woman, from the cat and dog and cow and goat, the firstborn would die at the stroke of midnight were not the blood applied to the house. My friends, listen to me. I'm going to tell you a little side note. You have no idea how important it is for you as a child of God to teach your children the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The respect and honor of the blood in the name of Jesus Christ, our sacrificial lamb. You have no idea how important that is today. Take time with them. Spend time with them. This small boy looked up. It was okay with him. Then his father turned to him and he said, Son, there's something I need to tell you. that you are the firstborn in our home. And immediately, cold chills ran through this little boy's body. What do you mean, Dad? Am I going to die? He goes, no. I followed the plan of God. I followed God, not man. I followed what the Word said. I followed His Word verbatim. And we've done everything we can do now. But I want you to know I trust God. And the boy looked at that blood and realized that blood was put there for him. Because no one else in the house would have died were the blood not being there. They went inside early evening, now dark. But as it were, the clock or the time moves closer to midnight. The more concern this little boy began to have. His father saw. His father realized that this little boy was worried now because at midnight, the stroke of midnight, even Pharaoh's firstborn was going to die. No one would be spared. And his father looked at him in concern. His father said, what's wrong? And he said, Father, it's close to midnight now. I'm just a little concerned. His father opened the door and he made this statement, son, the blood's still there. The blood is still there. I want to tell you this today. Listen to me, church. Take this in. The blood is still there today for you in every area. You see, the blood paid your debt once and for all, Hebrews 9:28. You're justified by the blood, Romans 5, verse 9. You're forgiven by the blood, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. You're spared from God's wrath, again, Romans 5, 9. You're spiritually alive because of the blood in John chapter 6, verse 53. Your judgment's been satisfied and you have peace with God because of the blood in Isaiah 53, verse 5. You're cleansed by the blood in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. You're no longer under the curse anymore because of the blood in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. I back these up with scripture and tell you for you. You've been reclaimed from the enemy because of the blood in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 again. You're no longer a stranger to the covenant of promise. And that's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. You've been moved from the enemy's kingdom to the kingdom of God. And that's Colossians 2, 15, by the blood of Jesus. You've gained the unmerited favor of God. Again, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, by the blood of Jesus. You've been declared righteous. These are things the blood's done for you. You've been declared righteous by the power of the blood, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. You've been justified just as if you've never sinned. Justified by the blood of Jesus and no other way, Romans 3, 24 and 25. You're able to come close to God because of the blood of Jesus, Ephesians 2, verse 13. And your redemption can never go away, can never perish. You may walk away, but the redemptive power of the blood will never be challenged in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. And listen to this. You're free. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to be free? Free of your mind. Free of the environment. Free of the words of other people. Free of the bondage of religion. Free of the bondage of doctrinal truth. Free of the bondage of opinion. Free of the bondage of your own mind. And weak state, you're free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. You're protected from judgment in Exodus 12, 27. And listen to this one. You're free from the conscience of guilt. Whew. Free from the conscience of guilt because of the blood in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. No longer condemned. You can proclaim victory and I've been separated from the world and declared holy before God in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm going to tell you something, and I mean this with all of my heart. The blood is still there. It was there Monday when I prayed for a heartbroken child of God. The blood of Jesus was still there. It was there Tuesday when I prayed for a sick baby. The blood of Jesus was still there. And it was there Wednesday when I prayed for a discouraged saint of God. The blood was still there and active. And it was there Thursday when I prayed for a wayward sinner to come back to the cross, where the blood of Jesus had already cleansed away his sin. And it was there Friday when I rebuked the lies of hell and set free the disillusion with the joy of Jesus. It was there yesterday when I prepared this word and put together everything the Holy Ghost gave me to encourage me and to encourage you, that the blood's still there. Amen. And it's going nowhere. Unchallenged, unchanged, and powerful in you. Friends, if I was ever going to tell you that this is the time to stand up, speak up, live in the power of the blood of Jesus, today's the day. This is the day. Bow your heads with me. Father God, this truth didn't come from me. I don't have the cunning. I don't have the intelligence. This is past supernatural. This is past the intelligence of humanity. My God, this is straight from the Holy Spirit of God, that the blood's never lost its power. The blood's never transcended or changed or morphed into something else. The blood has sustained its dominant, glorious power, the blood of Jesus. Oh God, today I pray for everyone that hears this. God, my prayer that this word today would change the people to know that we do what God says, and then God does what he promises. Holy Spirit, let the blood that's active today. I just checked this morning, and church, listen, the blood's still there. Still there for you to do whatever in your mind right now that seems impossible. The blood's still there. Father God, I thank you for this word today. And God, now let the Holy Ghost guide us, and let the rest of this day and this week be strong in this word. And we'll stand, God, redeemed and powerful through your presence, and glorify you, that we're going to grow stronger and stronger and more separated from the world and more in tune with the promise and empowered to lead others to the cross where the blood is still there. In Jesus' name, amen.